Imagine trying to explain the internet to someone in the 1960s. Like, that is the exact hurdle IBM faced when trying to introduce computers to a Cold War public. So, welcome to today's deep dive into the Eames Mathematica exhibit.
Yeah, it's such a wild concept to look back on.
Right. And our mission today is to really explore how a 1961 mid-century design experiment transformed math from this completely sterile subject into a tactile playground, and how that legacy actually survives in our digital age.
Which is incredibly relevant right now.
Exactly. So, okay, let's unpack this. IBM didn't just hire a bunch of mathematicians for this massive project. They hired the world-famous designers Charles and Ray Eames to visually sell the concept of computational logic to everyday people.
Yeah, they did, because IBM wasn't selling a specific commercial computer here. They were trying to prepare the American public for this future totally dominated by data. And, well, they needed a visual language that just didn't intimidate people.
Because math is super intimidating to a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. The Eameses had to overcome this massive public misconception first. They realized that what most of us think of as math, you know, numbers and basic arithmetic, that's just like 1% of the whole mathematical universe.
Just 1%? Wow. So to show the other 99%, they completely skipped the equations and they built these huge kinetic machines. Like, they designed a massive Galton board that dropped 30,000 plastic balls through a matrix of steel pegs.
Yeah. And it forms a perfect bell curve in real time right before your eyes.
Right. In real time. And then they built this other machine that mechanically dipped these complex wireframes into a soapy solution, which physically calculated minimal surface calculus.
The physics of that soap machine are just brilliant. I mean, because soap film naturally contracts to its lowest energy state, it automatically pulls itself into the absolute smallest surface area possible for that specific wireframe.
It's basically a naturally occurring mid-century supercomputer.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is the underlying psychology they tapped into. It's known as perceptual motor integration.
Wait, perceptual motor what?
Perceptual motor integration. By letting visitors physically watch these mechanical processes unfold, they could grasp highly complex physics visually. I mean, you didn't need to know the formula because the physical motion just did all the heavy lifting for your brain.
That is so smart. And that motion makes it this incredible educational tool. But over the decades, Mathematica aged into a static historical artifact, which leads to this really tricky preservation dilemma.
Yeah, especially when someone actually spots a flaw in the exhibit.
Right. So in 2015, a 15-year-old kid visiting the Boston Museum of Science noticed a subtraction error on a display that was explaining the golden ratio, and the museum was completely paralyzed.
Well, yeah, you can't exactly just take a paintbrush and paint over a priceless Eames artifact to fix a math typo.
Exactly. But they launched a rigorous academic review, and they actually discovered the Eameses were correct all along. They were using a subtraction method to scale the sequence down instead of using the conventional method of multiplication to scale it up.
Yeah, so it looked completely wrong to a modern student, but it was a perfectly valid historical method.
So here's where it gets really interesting. What does this all mean for the museum's authority?
Well, it highlights a massive cultural shift in science engagement. Like, in the 1960s, the public just passively accepted whatever a museum presented.
Right. The museum was the absolute authority.
Exactly. But today, it's a two-way street. A teenager can challenge an institution, they can spark a media discourse and prompt a real academic review. The museum just isn't a lecturer anymore.
But the museum still faces that tension, right? Being unable to physically alter the artifact to fix historical blind spots. Like, the exhibit's massive physical history wall was accurate for 1961, but it completely lacked women and diverse mathematicians.
Yeah, and to address that without defacing the original design, the museum just added a supplementary graphic panel right adjacent to it.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the real evolution happened digitally. In 2012, IBM digitized that entire 50-foot wall into an iPad app, and they dynamically linked it to Stephen Wolfram's computational engine.
So it updates those historical blind spots in real time.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, but hold on. Let me push back on that a bit. Doesn't slapping this into an iPad completely ruin the tactile kinetic magic that the Eameses intended? Like, aren't we just putting the math back behind glass?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it actually solves the problem pretty elegantly. In the 21st century, the physical museum becomes this archive you can actually step into.
Like a sacred space.
Right. You go there for the physical presence, you know, the clicking gears, the dropping balls. Mm. But the app serves as a living, evolving text, one that can adapt alongside human knowledge without erasing history.
That makes a lot of sense. So why should you care about a design experiment from 1961? Well, in an era absolutely dominated by AI and data, your ability to visually translate and understand complex systems is more crucial than ever.
Definitely. The tools of calculation evolved from mechanical gears to silicon chips, but the need to intuitively grasp the logic just hasn't changed at all.
Right. Which leaves you with this to chew on. As we enter the era of quantum computing, which is a field that totally defies basic physical intuition, how will the next generation of designers build physical machines to make us feel quantum math?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because if a soapy wireframe can calculate calculus, what is the machine that finally gets quantum physics off the chalkboard?